reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked upon his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his children forever." Mary remained with Elizabeth about 3 months, and then returned to her home. The Gospel of the Lord. During this particularly Marian final leg of Advent, which constitutes the fourth week, we continue to focus on Mary's wonder, and the wonder of the whole event, without which we won't be able to appreciate what is really happening when we celebrate Christmas. Yesterday, we focused on the incredible wonder in Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, that the mother of her Lord should come to her. A wonder that even filled the in utero John the Baptist. And as soon as Mary has heard this, she explodes with wonder and praise for the Lord. We focused yesterday a little bit on our beautiful visitation stained glass window, which Mary has one hand on her heart, looking up to God, the other hand outstretched in loving service to her elderly kinswoman. But when she looked up and she started to announce that praise, she made her own the great praise of so many of the heroic women in the Old Testament. Doubtless, this woman who was St. Athanasius had said, who had conceived the word in her heart before she had even conceived it in her womb, that as she was walking that 60-mile journey down from Nazareth to Jericho, up to Jerusalem, and then down the flip side of the hill to Ein Kerem, she was actualizing and personalizing all of those great praises of the heroic women of the Old Testament for God. So she says, with great wonder, that her soul, that soul which had been filled with grace from the first moment of her existence, proclaims not her greatness, it proclaims the greatness of the Lord. To be filled with grace means to be filled with God. And she was going to proclaim his greatness. That her spirit rejoices. She was full of joy, even though she could have been stoned according to the law. Filled with joy because of God, her Savior, even though she had been conceived without original sin. That happened to her because of the grace of her Son, who would also be her Savior. He has looked on her, his lowly handmaid, recognizing, she did, that from that day all generations would call her blessed as we do today. That it was precisely her humility that attracted God's particular notice, not any other quality. Sometimes we think in order to be noticed, noticed by God or noticed by others, we have to do very loud things. It's not the case. The Father who sees what is done in secret looks particularly for that quiet humility. A humility that at the same time is totally consistent with saying, my soul proclaims God's greatness and rejoice in God my Savior. To say anything else would have been total false humility on the part of Our Lady. But she recognized that every blessing was not hers, but redounded only to God's glory. The Almighty has done great things for me. She noticed and she counted them all. One of the reasons why she was filled with joy was because she was filled with thanksgiving. She recognized that his name is holy. And she was hallowing that name in her Magnificat. He's a God of hesed love, merciful love. And he has mercy on those who hold him in awe in every generation. If we want him to have mercy toward us, we need to be in awe of his holiness, his condescension in doing great things for us as well. Shown the strength of his arm. This was the great battle cry of the Psalms. Show us your strength, O Lord, for you are God, my strength. And the way that he has shown that is by humbling the proud and the arrogant and exalting the lowly like Mary. There would have been so many others whom God could have chosen to be the mother of the Messiah, far more humanly qualified to raise a king. But he was going to humble Herod. He was going to exalt this little obscure girl from a village from which even 30 years later, Nathanael would ask, could anything good come from there? He's filled the hungry with good things. In order to be filled with all the good things, we need to be hungry. We can't be satisfied. Jesus, her son, would later say, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for holiness. They will be satisfied. One of the reasons sometimes that we can feel empty is because we mistakenly believe we've got all that we need. And we don't come to the Lord with open hands, but we begin to ask ourselves what we can do for God rather than going before him and saying, whatever you want me to do, let it be done according to your word. Fill the hungry with good things. But those who think that they're rich, they've been sent away empty. It's that whole parable of the publican and the Pharisee. Mary would come forward praising God for his mercy, while all those others who thought that they already had it all would leave the temple unjustified. He's come to the help of his servant Israel. Now she begins to become daughter Zion, the spokesman of her whole people. He's come to the help of his servant Israel, remembering his promise of mercy. Israel itself had been humbled many times, and it's then that they would see the full extent of the Father's love, which would reconcile even repeated spiritual adultery. The promise he made to our fathers, from Abraham all the way down to his children in every generation. This is what Mary cried out. This was the amazement she bore within. Pope Benedict said that that is the type of amazement, Pope John Paul II said that that is the type of amazement all of us are supposed to have at this time of year. That when we look at Mary's amazement and enraptured gaze as she beheld her son, where she just held him within, it is meant to form our attitude as we behold her son and then receive him within, that we're supposed to be bursting out with praise. I've had the privilege many times to go to preach retreats to women religious of all different communities. And on those retreats, I normally hear confessions. And one of the most common penances I give to the women religious, because they're all serial killers, we know, is to pray the Magnificat twice. The first, putting themselves in the person of Mary, and then second, to write their own Magnificat, and then to pray that aloud, counting all that the Lord has done for them in their humility, allowing their own soul to summarize all that the Lord has done for the great heroines of history, so that their spirit might find its true joy in the Lord who has saved them. If we're going to copy Mary's enraptured gaze, if we're going to experience the joy for which God has waited from the beginning of the creation of the world to give to us this Christmas, then we too must follow this Marian itinerary. To take some time while we're going about doing good, as she was on her way to Ein Kerem, to contemplate all that the Lord has done for us and others. And I would encourage you to write down your own Magnificat and then to pray it. If you do, then the Lord will help you to appreciate ever more how he wishes to satisfy that hunger in 3 days.